Good morning, everyone. I greet you in the name of our Lord, and really good to be with you this morning. I know I'm recording this before the time, but I realize today is going to be a cold day, and may you be warm wherever you're watching this or listening to this. May God truly bless you as you hear His word. May I pray for us. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we really ask, Lord, as your word comes, which is the bread of life, that Lord, that you not only nourish us, but Lord, that you would open up our hearts and our minds to more of you. May understanding come to every one of us this morning as we hear your word and your word changes us. May faith arise and may we follow you as you bring your revelation to us by the Holy Spirit now. In Jesus' name, amen. So good to be with you, and I just really want to encourage you at this time to continue to be following the Lord, not to be holding on to this world and what it has. We're all facing many challenges, you as individuals and us as a church. I think we've all been impacted financially, but I really want to ask you to continue with your disciplines of giving to God through your tithes and offerings. Don't hold back on that. That's something that, as we are obedient to God, it opens up the door for His blessing and His miraculous work to take place. So I encourage you, as much as you look at your income statement or your balance sheet, don't hold back from giving to God. It's an incredible privilege and a great sacrifice to make. Truly, it is a sacrifice at this time to be given to God, but you will find His blessings going forward. So this morning, I really have, in a sense, in my heart, to share with you what the Holy Spirit has actually given me. And the topic that I share with is the fear of the Lord. In Isaiah 33, verse 6, at the last portion of that, the fear of the Lord is His treasure. Now, if you want to find treasure, I really believe you've got to seek for it. And we've seen all those movies and the treasure hunters going looking for it. But I want to just say something in the Word of God is that as we seek for the fear of the Lord, we're going to find God's treasure. And I think that's of greater worth than find a Spanish galleon and all its treasure. We're going to find what God has destined for us and all He has. He's the creator and the maker of the heavens and earth. How much more does He have for us? So again, my theme is the fear of the Lord. And the text that I use is from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 43. And behind this is we've just gone through remembrance of Pentecost and the outpouring of the Spirit. And we love this portion of scripture because it gives us some indication what happened in the early church. And I really do believe what God wants to do in His church today. So I read from verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. God has been telling us that there will be an outpouring of His Spirit. There will be a sense of revival. And I think it's not going to be what we all expect, but I really do believe what this scripture gives to us, and the Amplified actually opens it up. What is that sense of awe? And I really believe it's a reverential fear that comes upon us. And that's a supernatural thing that God does. And I believe that's going to be one of the hallmarks that God's going to bring to this church in this time. And I believe God's preparing our hearts for the outpouring of His Spirit. So the fear of the Lord is not something that just lived in the Old Testament, even though we don't seem to acknowledge it that much today. It's very much part of the New Testament. And we see in the early church as the church worked with the living God. And we don't like that in Acts chapter 5, the story of Ananias and Sapphira who sold a property and held back some of the money willingly and told the church that they're given everything. And what does Peter come and say? But you've lied to the Holy Spirit. And the consequence of lying to the Holy Spirit was that they both, him and his wife, Ananias and Sapphira, fell down dead and they were buried. And that was something of the reverence and the awe and the fear of God that came upon the early church. And we read that the many of the unbelievers didn't want to actually meet with the church because there was something of this awe and this fear of God that was upon the church. And that's got to take place in our lives also. And I really believe the Holy Spirit's going to be doing that in our midst. So I just want to go through some aspects. What the fear of the Lord is not. And firstly, there's 3 points here. It's not a natural fear. God gives us a natural fear when we get into danger and the adrenaline rushes. And we can get out of danger. It's not that. Number two, it's not a demonic fear that's given by the devil himself through his demons. We read in the scripture that it's called a spirit of fear in 2 Timothy 1:7. We do not have a spirit of fear. We do not have a demonic spirit of fear. We're not meant to live in that. If you are in that position, you need to cast that thing out and command it to go in Jesus' name. It says in 1 John 4:18 that perfect love drives out fear. So God's love is within us, so we don't have a spirit of fear. And it also, it's not a fear of man, and that's what a lot of us are going to be dealing with. A fear of man is not the fear of the Lord. So what is the fear of the Lord? There are 4 points here. It's not easy to describe, but firstly, it's a powerful physical fear. And we see that when Moses met the Lord at the burning bush, God appeared to him and told him to take his sandals off, and because it was holy ground. And in that holiness, Moses shook with terror and dared not to look. There was a terror that came upon him just in the presence of God. And we don't always acknowledge that, but our God is a consuming fire. And we need to realize that he is awesome, that he's powerful, that he's majestic. And that comes, a powerful fear comes when we come into his presence. Secondly, it's a reverence. And I think sometimes we've got a religious view of reverence, that we come into a sacred building and we honor that. I want to just say those rituals and those things that come with that, that is not the reverence that God is talking about. That in a way can be legalism, and that can be something that can draw us into bondage. But what we really do need is a revelation of who God is. That is what reverence. When God comes and reveals himself, who he really is, that's when we understand what reverence is. We need an understanding that of our living God, that he is the Almighty. Another outworking of the fear of God is a submissive to God, that our attitude towards him is submit. It says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. This is a command through the word. We need to be submissive, and that is an indication that we fear God. And then the fourth point here is, what you fear is your God. And that tells us in the Proverbs. And I want to say to you, there are many things that we would hold on to, and whatever we fear becomes a small g God in our lives. But we need to have God as the one that we fear in our lives, this reverential awe of him. So what are the benefits, the next point of benefits of fearing God? And there's a few points that I want to go through here. The first point is, the true wisdom is inseparable from the fear of the Lord. In Job 28, verse 28, and he said to the man, fear the Lord, that is wisdom, and shun evil is understanding. See, most people think that wisdom is something that's intellectual, like cleverness, and it doesn't say that. It says wisdom is not cleverness, because cleverness is compatible with evil. The fear of the Lord is not cleverness. It's a place where we actually see it as true wisdom, to know that who he is. Secondly, the Lord will teach in the way that he chooses. In Psalm 25, verse 12, then is the man that fears the Lord, he will instruct him in the way chosen for him. This indicates is that God doesn't choose his students on behalf of their good marks and their examination results, but he chooses his students on based of character. And that character of those who fear him, those are the ones that he chooses. So there can be those that have chosen to go to the best university and a Bible school and have a lot of knowledge, but they're not really the pupil of the Lord. The scripture says that God chooses those to be his pupil that fear him. So we need to learn that lesson in life. So it's not your station in life and the schools that you've attended, but rather what God chooses you, your character of fearing him. The next point is, the Lord will show him his covenant. In Psalm 25, verse 14, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show him his covenant. He has an incredible thing. As we grow intimate with our God, the secrets of the new covenant increase. The depths of our Lord will be revealed to those who fear him. And I want to tell you to take time upon that, because not many of us understand the depths of what we have in this new covenant in Christ. And God wants to reveal that to him. And one of the first secrets of that is to fear the Lord. The next point, we will live longer. Proverbs 10:25. The fear of the Lord prolongs days, and the years of the wicked will be shortened. It doesn't tell us how long we will live, but it does tell us that if we fear the Lord, our lives will be longer than those who do not fear the Lord. That's an incredible promise to us. Next point, it gives us strength, the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 14:26. And the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. So this fear of the Lord doesn't make us timid, but gives us strength. And that's not an ability, but that's an inner strength that comes from Christ. going forward, to be able to have, be confident in life because we do fear the Lord. The next point, it leads to life, and there's three aspects of here. Proverbs 19:23, it says, "The fear of the Lord leads to life, and whoever has it will abide in satisfaction and will not be visited by evil." So he has this incredible promise as we find abundant life in Christ, but the fear of the Lord leads to life. In Proverbs 14:27 says, it says also a fountain of life. Proverbs 22:4, it says, "In the fear of the Lord and humility of the Lord are riches and honor and life." So there are incredible, incredible promises that when we fear the Lord, what God will actually give to us and an outworking in our lives. So how we look now at the next point in Jesus' life, in Isaiah 11 verses 2 to 3, it says that this portion of the Holy Spirit was upon him. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And it says in verse 3, his delight is in the fear of the Lord. Jesus delighted in the fear of the Lord. He walked in the fear of the Lord. Can you believe God Almighty, that put aside his deity and walked as a human, put on this nature as a servant, but walked in the fear of the Lord as he related to his Father? There was something of this awesomeness that he understood in his character of fearing God. So we cannot separate the fear of the Lord from the knowledge of the Lord. We need to actually grow, and the Holy Spirit needs to teach us to fear him. The next point, in the early church, in Acts chapter 9 verse 31, then the churches throughout Judea, Galilee, Samaria had peace and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Here we see this combination of the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And incredibly, we see here, as they walked in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, what was there? There was edification and multiplication. And maybe that's the key to church growth, is that we actually, we humble ourselves before the Lord, and as we fear him and we allow the Holy Spirit to comfort us, this will bring multiplication, it'll bring edification. And that's what people do need at this time. And as we open up our lives and we open up our homes at the right time, and we can open up our facilities where we're meeting, I want to really trust this will be the outworking of who we are, that we will all experience the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 15 to 19, I'm just going to read verse 15 and 16. "But he who called you is holy, and you also must be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" So God wants us to be holy in all our conduct, and that's the basis of that, is a fear of the Lord, that we would purpose not to sin, we would purpose to be in right standing, we would be purpose to please the Lord, because God is holy. And with this, we honor the redemption and the Redeemer and the purchase of our lives by the blood of Jesus, when we see this is not something that is unholy, but holy, and we walk in the fullness of that. People will see something of God in our lives. So how do we get the fear of the Lord practically? And you can read from Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. It's about instructions that give, but I'll just go through some of the ifs there. There are four ifs. So if we receive, if in receiving the fear of the Lord, firstly, we need to receive God's word. And that's where God's word is so important. We need to receive it with respect and with the attitude of submission and obedience, and treasure it. When God's word becomes an evidence in our lives and we see it for what it is, truly the word of God, it's not just a piece of paper with words written on, it's God's words written to us. But as we receive it with the fear of the Lord, something starts to take place in our lives. Out of that too, that we listen to God's words, we become teachable, we incline our ear to what the word is actually saying, we're hearing what the words and become obedient to it. And then we pray also, we cry out for discernment and understanding. Prayer is always linked to, as we read God's word and we ask the Holy Spirit to work through his word, and God begins to honor what he reveals to us. And then as we look into the words, it's like digging in a mine looking for gold. We need to dig for the jewels of God, that they might be found. So God will actually give us something of these jewels as we seek for them in his word. And then comes the promise. Then comes the promise, and then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of the Lord. Knowledge of God can never be separated from the fear of the Lord. So we need to see this promise that what will come, we will understand who he is. So in conclusion, I say to you today, will you ask God to impart to you the fear of the Lord? He won't force you, he will not threaten you, But as you've listened today and heard that, maybe you've come to a position and realized that you know very little of the fear of the Lord in your life. So I ask you not to respond with emotion, because that might not have a long-term effect, but with faith in your heart, will you respond to the Lord and allow him to come and reveal the fear of the Lord to you? So if that's you today and you'd like to respond to the Lord, I'd like you to pray this prayer with me. I'm praying it for myself. So let's pray. Let's close our eyes and let's focus upon the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come to you through our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. You have put a heart's desire within me today to fear you. And I ask you now, will you lead me and teach me and impart to me the wonderful treasures of yours, the fear of the Lord, in the name of Jesus? We ask this in the name of Jesus. And I pray this will become a reality to you as you fear the Lord. And maybe you're out there today and the fear of the Lord has never been a reality. As we heard last week, the decision point in life before you come to accept Christ is the fear of the Lord. And I really do ask that today, if you want to make a decision to follow Jesus because you recognize that he's almighty, that he's the God that is the maker of the heavens and the earth, will you submit your heart to him today? If that's you today and you want to make a recommitment to him also, I ask you to say this prayer after me today. Let's close our eyes because I think that just enables us to focus upon the living God. Father, we thank you now for your great love. We thank you that this aspect of the fear of the Lord hasn't always been my reality, but I come to you today and I want to submit my knee and I want to confess you as my Lord, Lord Jesus. And I ask that you would become truly my Savior and you would lead me in the paths of your righteousness and bring me to a fullness of knowing you and to fear you and to walk with you. Enable me to understand what it is that to know that I am saved from sin and darkness and brought into your light and into your truth and to experience eternal life. I really ask that you would make this a reality in my life today as I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, that the reality of salvation would be my portion today. So will you bless me? Will you fill me with your Holy Spirit? Will you enable me to speak in a new language, to honor you and to glorify you, that your holiness will be revered in my life, and that I'll be able to serve you all the days of my life now, in Jesus' name. Amen. If that's you today and you've responded to the Lord, I ask you, will you fill in below this YouTube channel? There's a place where you can fill in a commitment to Christ. Let us know. We'd love to be in communication with you and enable you to encourage you in this journey of following Christ and become his disciple. And then to those out there that you're really going through some tough times, we might not know about it, but please fill in the prayer request form and let us know. And we love to pray with you and get to be with you and encourage you in this time. So from me, I just want to say this is an important message, and I really believe this is a hallmark of what's going to be happening to the future. Don't let this just fall on deaf ears. May you hear what the Spirit of God is saying to his church today. God bless you. Have a great day. Keep your eyes on Jesus and keep fearing the Lord. God bless you.